Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics, such as...
But Chloe, I mean, if that's not the biggest love story that never happened, I don't know what is.
I know, I wish they had stuck to the original script instead of that hetero bullshit that came out on Pitch Perfect 1.
See, I didn't even know about this until you told me that.
Yeah, that's why there's so much tension. That's why, like, they left in all these, like, romantic moments between Becca and Chloe, And then what? Like, then they just made her straight. Both of them.
It's pretty obvious over the course of 1, 2, and 3. 3 especially, because Anna Kendrick even said, I'm not kissing this guy. That's not what my character would do. And then planned it out that...
She wanted to kiss...
She did. She wanted to kiss Brittany Snow.
Yeah. And then A Simple Favor came out. Cabrona,
what's poppin', chingona?
We are once again,
oh my god, here
live
coming to you live
from Daniel's workplace from Functional Series.
Air horn. I'm super happy and super excited about this episode, just because I've really been wanting to talk to this person on a mic.
Mm-hmm. Which technically we have before on the air on our Klexicon Live episode.
Yes.
So you heard just a little snippet of this amazing person's point of view. But now you get a whole fucking episode.
A whole fucking episode. And we love this person. They're my other favorite Capricorn. Shout out to Cap Bay.
I don't know why we're being so vague about who it is.
I know. I don't know why.
People are going to just read the description and like see exactly what it is. So welcome to the studio, Corey.
Corey!
Please introduce yourself and say hi and all that good shit.
Hello. By that introduction, I was wondering who the guest was.
You're like, what?
I'm like, who is it? Am I in the wrong seat?
I thought I was. No, you're not. Cat Bay is here.
Cat Bay. That's in so the funny. House.
In the house.
The Capricorn reunion is real.
It is. It's very real. I hugged you for like 10 seconds, and I was like, I haven't seen you since Vegas, and I'm so glad to be sharing space and air with you again.
Same.
Since Vegas, it sounds so like
so sinister. Long ago.
So like, it sounds like, oh, since Vegas.
You know what?
We're not gonna talk about it, but
I've done a lot of things in my life, but having that I haven't seen you since Vegas story, like, that's never happened to me. That was never one of the things until now.
Oh, aren't you glad it's happening?
I'm so glad. I mean, you're the best person to be the counterpart of that story.
Of course.
Two caps. Okay, right here.
Oh, hey, sorry, my thing. Hi.
I didn't know you were going to be here.
Well, oh, my God. Yeah, go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners.
Tell everybody about you, what you do, what you've done, except for what happened
what
in Vegas.
What I've done.
Not what happened in Vegas, but like everything else.
Yeah. Okay, I'm Corey Xenis. I am a filmmaker. I do a little bit of everything, directing, cinematography, sound, editing, producing. I mean, I feel like it's
writing.
Important to do. Oh, I
totally forgot about the writing.
I brushed that one under the rug because when you say you're a writer, everyone expects your next project.
God.
It's your fault that I'm a writer.
Right, like currently?
Yes.
Currently, because of, yeah.
Yeah. Right, we're in a writer's group together.
Mm-hmm. It's very romantic.
So she...
Whatever, I'm right here, Corey.
Oh, hello.
Right here.
I didn't know you were going to be here.
I bet you say that to all the girls.
I do. I'm shocked. That's always the way that works.
Oh, my God. Well, tell us about your childhood. Most importantly, like, your traumas. Mm-hmm. Like, where you come from and how you ended up in
your
this
hang-ups.
Amazing city.
How much time do we have?
24 hours we'll for you.
Don't worry. I'll edit it.
Okay. Well, let's see. I'm originally from Kansas.
Not Arkansas.
Not Arkansas.
Kansas.
Not Arkansas.
America,
please note that. They're very different. I'm from Kansas. I grew up in, originally in Kansas City, and then moved to a small town, Lewisburg, Kansas. I think there were about
Sounds very colonial.
Mm-hmm. I think there were about 5,000 people there when I went to high school.
Oh, wow. Is this Forks, Washington, or like, what? Did you have a Twilight
Pretty
on
close.
Cool. Damn. Go on.
I mean, the main thing I knew is I wanted to get out of there. Yeah. So I was just looking at destinations. So I went to college at the University of Kansas, Rock Chalk Jayhawk. That's an important thing. You're
sure.
Look, you're rolling your eyes at me.
I'm not rolling my eyes. I'm just confused.
But the fellow Jayhawks are like,
oh, wait,
yelling
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
They win the championship.
I see people wear the mascot. Yes, yeah. That's all I know.
Thank you. Thank you for the support.
Go on.
So I went to theater and film school at KU, and I took a long time to do it because I wanted to make sure I knew a little bit about everything, which is why I do so many things now. So then in 2010, I moved to LA, made the big trek, and
damn,
never looked back.
It's a while ago.
Oh, what are you trying to say?
I was just saying.
Yeah, it was a while ago. And then I took a little bit to figure out what I wanted and where I was going, and I was in one of those relationships that doesn't really allow you to follow your dreams. Mm. You don't really elevate each other. You just kind of stay stagnant. So once I got out of that, then I got right back into filmmaking.
And then that's such a great thing for us because that's how we kind of met.
Yeah.
Functional first day of you guys invited us to the set and we met you and you were like going back and forth with Liz and it was so fucking funny.
It was like a sarcasm war and I loved it.
Yeah. I knew you guys were gonna show up that day and I kept asking Daniel like, do they know it's like a shit show? Like, do they know what, like, should we be more professional?
We were drinking whiskey on set.
Yeah,
We'd met like 5 seconds ago.
Yeah, we just met and we started drinking with y'all.
It was
so
the best time ever.
I think you were good.
It was awesome.
It was a good time. I was like, you know what, we're just going to be real and authentic and show them what we're all about. And me and Liz just bantering back and forth was like, the epitome of everything we were about. Yeah. Unfunctional.
That was great. It's because like, I feel like in those moments I got to know you guys both really
yeah.
quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because like you guys were so comfortable with each other that you showed that side to each other. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not just that, it like proves the cast had bonded. You guys had really created something.
It was a really special thing to be a part of. It just felt like coming together with your family and making something important but funny but dramatic, but working with your close friends. I mean, they became close friends, so it's like that's the best thing that you could ask for.
Backtracking a little bit, mm-hmm. How did you know, or when did you know that you wanted to be in film and television?
I think I was 5 years old.
Whoa.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Go on.
I know what I want and I go for it. I think it's a Capricorn thing.
It is. Agreed.
I used to put on plays in my house. I'm an only child. Mm. So it was like a one kid show.
one act show.
And if I had the tapes, I wish I did, because back then it was like VHS tapes.
Right. Like literally on. Film.
Yeah. Literally film. I would make my dad be in some of the shows.
That's adorable.
He was playing the big bad wolf and I was Little Red Riding Hood and it was stuff like that I used to do. And then because I didn't have any brothers or sisters, whenever I would get together with my cousins, I was like, let's make art, let's make theater. Like let's make shows.
Like freaking 6 and 7 year olds are like, what are you talking?
You're like, you stand here, you stand there.
Where are your fucking Barbies at, dude? Like,
My best 8-year-old performance that I made was a DARE, drug abuse and resistance
Wait,
education
what?
Show. And my cousins played bad guys.
That's amazing.
Hooked on drugs. And
this is your brain. This is your brain on drugs.
Yeah, it was really emotional, and I think it was the highlight of my career so far. And
I peaked at 8.
And my family gave us a standing ovation after. So I think it was.
I think you did amazing.
Yeah. I also used to interview myself. Like,
so you're used to this.
The two hosts were Oprah. Back when she had her show. like in Chicago. She interviewed
like Ellen.
Yeah.
You are such a Capricorn. I can't.
And Barbara Walters. Yes! That was another important one for me.
Just some cats.
So I would use my hairbrush in the mirror, and I was always like talking to myself, but I was actually talking to Barbara and Oprah. And then my parents would come in and be like, "Who are you talking to?" And I'm like, "I'm doing important interviews.
Can you schedule in an appointment? I don't have time for this.
Talk to my
publicist.
Talk to my publicist.
It's Mr. Teddy Bear and Mrs. Bunny Bunny.
You know it. It's like you were there. So yeah, from a very young age, I knew I wanted to do it, but it was hard because people who live in Kansas don't typically make it. So it was just about like overcoming that and figuring out how do I get there. But I know what I want to do.
Yeah. So then you went to school and you came here and you like got held back a little bit, but then you jumped into it. So
yeah,
how did that go, getting back into it, and what were your like projects when you jumped back in?
I actually got injured. I was doing a job where I was just throwing myself into work, and it was just a sick cycle of working 60 hours a week.
Yeah.
Wondering like, am I ever gonna make a movie? Am I ever gonna make a show? What am I doing? And I got injured because I was working so much. So I had a lot of free time on my hands. And I was like, what am I gonna do with myself? I need to network somehow because I need to do what I love. Like, I have a calling, I think. And so how
people
do I
don't, like,
do that?
You wanna be a creative? That's great. You also need to go talk to people for a long time.
Exactly.
Every fucking day, yeah. So.
Well, and there's that stigma, like, they tell you, I heard this since I was a kid. It's all about who you know. And if you don't know the right people, you're never gonna make it. But to me, that was always them saying, if you don't know someone at a studio, you can't do it. If you don't know the right people to get you into a studio, you're never going to make anything. So it was also overcoming that obstacle. Like, okay, I don't know anyone at ABC or Fox or anything. But it worked out that I started looking back into it when the digital age was happening. Like, YouTube started becoming a huge thing. That's a great platform for any creator. And so it kind of opened a lot of doors for me. So I found Twitter again. I'd used it maybe like 5 years before that. And it wasn't really, it was just like up and coming. I really only looked at it for Mark Hoppus from Blink. I just wanted to know what he was doing. But then I was like, I don't really understand this Twitter thing. So then when I had all this time on my hands, I opened Twitter up again, and I said, I can network with this. I just need to figure it out. Then sure enough, I found a whole group of people who were making queer content here in LA. And I started watching this web series called It's Complicated, created by Cheska.
Yes.
Cheska Bacaltos. And she had already done the first season, and I thought it was pretty cool. And she's pretty active on social media, so I was in contact with her, talking about the show and other things. And then she was about to work on her second season, and she wanted extras. And I'd started going to therapy around that time to work on that bad relationship that I had, and like kind of set goals, like, where am I going? How am I going to do this film thing? And my therapist was like, you need to just put yourself out there. Like, take a chance today. So I went home that day, and Cheska posted that she needed extras for the series. And I don't want to be on camera. Like, it's not my forte.
Not since you peaked at 8. Yeah.
You know, I realized at 8, you know, that was a good performance. But you can do so much more behind the camera. And so that's when I knew. So I didn't want to be an extra, but I was like, you know, I can show her what I can do if I can just get on set. And then I know that can be a way in for me. And sure enough, it was. So she said, yeah, come be an extra. And then I was like, hey, do you need any help on the rest of this? And then I think I'd been there for 30 minutes, and her producer was like, can you come back? Are you available for the rest of the days? We could really use you. And so pretty much that opened all of the doors. After season 2 of It's Complicated, she referred me to Kate Johnson, who did the Leslie, and she'd already done the first season of her show, so then she was about to do the second season. She needed help, and so she asked me to help out, and I did a lot for that. It was really fun, and that's actually how I met Daniel.
Dan.
Hey.
from Functional.
So then I started putting myself out there more. There's another web series called LA Web Series, and that's how I met another one of my co-creators now, Alexandra Sorens. And I worked on that, on their second season, and then that opened a whole new set of doors. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I knew that if I could just network with someone, I could open so many more doors. So it was just about doing that.
It's true. It worked. We're here.
We're here.
We're here, right?
Yes.
And then I met you guys.
Don't get used to it, though.
Oh, okay.
That's my thing. She's all Hollywood. I'm not.
Okay. I know my place.
Well, now that we know how we got to this place, basically, where you're this producer, director, jack of all trades film person.
Yes.
I'll pay you after. For all your kind words.
Where did you first see yourself represented on the screen, if ever?
Mm-hmm. If ever.
Or what's the closest thing, you know?
Yeah. Can you see the wheels turning?
Because you're like, it's so drawing hard a blank. Yeah.
To think about where I saw myself on screen. I think one of the first queer characters, well, she was represented as bisexual in the storyline, but on the OC.
No, oh, dude.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the only, but that's the thing, is mm-hmm. I didn't see a lot of, like, this is normal. And growing up in Kansas, there was your, I think I knew one gay person, and it was the hairdresser for my aunt. Like, yeah. that was
it's always a hairdresser.
It's always a hairdresser. His name was Mark. He was lovely. yeah, I didn't see a lot of representation. I think maybe freshman year of, I don't want to date myself. I think freshman year of college, I saw But I'm a Cheerleader.
Ooh. Wow. Yeah. No, it's a good one.
That's a good one. RA, she was gay, and she was like, I need to show you a movie. She knew, and I hadn't come out yet. She's like, I need to show you a movie. And I was like, okay. And then I went in, and I was like, I think I came out another person. Like,
wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Like, everything makes sense to me now.
Damn. That's awesome.
Life-changing event by watching But I'm a Cheerleader.
Yeah.
Would you say that that's, like, the best representation, or hasn't been better?
No. Honestly, I think the best representation is a movie I just shot with Liz and Allie.
Creating your own representation.
I think so.
Kind of been a theme with our
everyone.
Our past few interviews, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Everybody's kind of like stepping up to the plate. I mean,
I think it's time. Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing about being queer creators. You aren't just a creator. You don't just have to hit a mark with that. You're also a queer creator. So you have to represent a community of people, but also you're putting something into the mainstream. So you're trying to get everyone in the mainstream to understand why your story is important and why we're just humans and we're just like everyone else. So there's a lot on your shoulders when you're doing it, but I think people are realizing it's time to make good content and represent ourselves. Everyone has a story. When you think about it, everyone has a story to tell. It's just like, how many of us feel like it's time to step up and do it. I give credit to all the web series that I worked on that were creating before I was. They made me feel like, you know what, I have a story. Okay, I wanna do something about it. I don't just wanna sit here and watch everyone else do it and do it well or not do it well. I wanna do it too.
Well, let's fucking get into it. What the ones that you started creating, let's talk about a few of your projects.
Yeah, let's do it.
First one that kind of comes to mind is Invisible Struggle.
Oof,
that was a big one.
Yeah.
That was a really big one and a really heavy one. And I mean, I'd love to know how that came to be and your inspiration and all the intimate details.
Oh, thank you. It was not supposed to happen the way that it happened. I was actually writing a web series when Invisible Struggle was written. It's actually a web series that's going to be, it's in pre-production right now.
Breaking news from onset of the Fortnite is, once again, the director, Corey Zenos, who at the time of our recording this interview, thought that maybe it wasn't going to go into production as soon as she thought. But, I mean, what's the progress that has been made now, just a few weeks after the interview was recorded? Now you're, like, almost done.
Yeah, we actually just wrapped production on the cabin location, and we only have 3 shots left. So we're pretty much done. We just shot 140 pages.
Yeah. Oh my god. And you got this awesome cabin with an amazing view that we're enjoying right now. And I tagged along with one of your actors, and
thank goodness.
Yeah, it was. I was like, oh, I'm gonna check out this cabin and then maybe like get it and help on sound. But I ended up getting a little bit more than that.
You actually played one of the most important characters in the main character's past.
You know, you and Allie both say that, but I'm like, they're just hyping me up.
Oh, it's real. It was the difference between having that scene and not having it, and it was very necessary. Like, I didn't put any filler in the script. Everything that was there was highly necessary. All of the details add up to the overall picture. So you playing the character of Alex was 100% necessary, and I'm so grateful.
Is it possible to spoil a little bit about what that is?
Yeah. So the main character, Peyton, goes to a cabin for 2 weeks to finish writing her second script. And she ends up rooming with someone from her past, a long-lost love that she lost all communication with 10 years prior. And so the story unfolds with them seeing each other again, and then how do they deal with everything that's happened in 10 years, and do they get answers to the questions that they never got to ask in the past, and where your character came in. Was a character, Alex, who kind of inadvertently pushed along this relationship early on of Peyton and Luca, the two main characters. Alex was an ex-girlfriend of Peyton's, and she was a pretty terrible person. She was pretty crazy, and she kind of pushes Luca to make a move on Peyton, because Peyton's definitely not making any moves.
Oh yeah, I came in and I was like, oh, this is a bitch character. Really? I've got this.
She's based on a real character. I did change the name, but the personality is the same for sure.
Yeah.
The actions and the storyline very much the same. It was an actual moment that happened. So
that's wild. When I said like my first line, I just remember like we were just like rehearsing and like checking sound or whatever. And, like, I was, like, so into the character when I said that first line. And I was looking directly at Allie, who I'm supposed to be looking at during that scene. And she, like, looks at me for a minute, and she's like, she was taken aback. I can't remember exactly what she said, but I just remember her being like, holy shit. Like, that was, like, dead on.
I was sweating a little bit behind camera because I was like, I feel like I'm back in this moment again. And this girl that I dated just walked in and was, like, being a bitch. And I was just like, oh, my God, I'm sweating. And it's not because it's hot in here. Like, I'm feeling it.
I was sweating, too. I was, like, nervous. Like, I don't know. You probably can't see it in the scene, but, like, I have the script behind me. And
no,
I'm, like, peeking.
Well. You played it so well. You did exactly. You were natural.
I appreciate that. That was my acting debut. I've never acted in my fucking life.
You're about to get an IMDb.
Yeah, don't talk to me anymore. I'm fucking famous.
So famous.
Corey's a fucking genius and one of the hardest workers I've ever. Like, I could not have imagined when we talked just like 3 weeks ago.
I was sweating 3 weeks ago because I knew this was pending, and I knew that the actor, one of the two main actors, her name's Rachel Rogers. She actually lives in Illinois, so I specifically reached out to her and was like, I want you to play this character of Luca. You're the only person that can play Luca. I'm very much that way about my scripts. Like I know someone who can play everything, and except for there's one character I was still searching and I found them, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But I reached out to Rachel, and fortunately she said yes.
Tell us about the last minute but amazing addition.
Okay, so when I wrote the script originally, I was looking to have a non-binary role in the story. And I reached out kind of on Twitter to my Twitter circle of friends in LA and asked, does anyone know any non-binary actors or trans actors? Because I'm in the process of writing this script and I want to use trans actors and non-binary actors. Like, that's very important to me. And I want to create roles for those people because no one's doing it. And I actually found someone who identifies as trans and non-binary. And I saw them on backstage and I really wanted to ask them to audition, but I just was like too anxious about it. And I was like, I'm going to leave it to the universe. And so I actually posted the role there and they responded right away. They were like, hey, I would love to play this character. And so I had them audition and I was already set. I had maybe 30 other people audition, but I already knew I wanted MJ, who ends up playing. I changed the name to Jalen, and they identify as non-binary. So it was really great because that's originally what I wanted for the script, and I was able to get that. And MJ, they are so amazing. Yeah. This was their first role on screen. And I thought they'd been acting for years and years.
I'm super excited to see what MJ has in store for us and what you have in store for us, of course. I've seen a little bit of it, and it's dope. Ally's an amazing actor. She's so good. Yeah, super collaborative and super nice in general as a person. So I'm really excited. And so that's your update on the Fortnite. We're going to continue the interview, and you can listen to some more of Corey, but we just wanted to let you know that the Fortnite is coming. Winter is coming, and
it's coming,
and it's gonna be good.
But something happened. Okay, so I wasn't creating anything, and then I was listening to a podcast that the two girls from LA Web Series were doing, Alexandra Swerens and Emma Matic, and Ali said something interesting about kind of like what I just said. Everyone has a story to tell. Just make your content. You know, don't be afraid that it's not going to be the best content. Just, you need to start making the stories or you're never going to start. You can always improve from there, because that's what we're all doing. Even the blockbuster films that you see, those people are always going to hopefully strive to make something better. Not always, but you know what I mean. They're always going to strive to make something better. They're always going to notice a mistake, but that shouldn't keep them from making those stories in the first place. And I was at a point where I was like, okay, I've been working on other projects. Is it time for me to do it? And I heard that podcast and I was like, you know what? It's time. And so I turned off the podcast and started writing. And then a week later, a mentor of mine actually passed away. His name is Michael Ajakwe. He's actually the creator of the first web series festival in the world.
What?
LA Web Fest. And I worked for that festival for 2 years, so that's how I got to meet him. And he was just really an incredible guy. And his biggest thing, anyone that he worked with, he wanted you to know that you were important and that he valued you and that he could see the potential in you. It was just about you realizing it within yourself. So working with him for 2 years really got me thinking, like, okay, he sees something in me. What am I not seeing in myself? And so I was kind of on that path also when I was working with Ali and everyone else. And it kind of at that moment that I heard her podcast, it clicked for me, like, okay, I can do this. It doesn't have to be the best, but I can make something. So then Michael passed away, and it really just, I couldn't sleep that night. It really hit me hard. And I stayed up all night and I just kept hearing him say, like, what are you waiting for? Why aren't you creating? Just, you know what you need to do. Just create it. Just write the thing that is on your heart right now and just do it. And something that had been in my mind for a while was, why aren't we seeing stories about depression? And when we do see them, why does it look like it's something that you want to have? Like, why are they glamorizing it? It's not glamorous. And then why does it just always feel cliche? Like, why aren't we telling the true stories? And so that whole night, I came up with this story of invisible struggle. It was supposed to be a much shorter short. Mm-hmm. It's about 40 minutes runtime. I intended for it to be about 10 minutes, but I didn't feel like we were doing the character of Will justice by giving him 10 minutes, 5 minutes. So I really wanted to amp that up, and it came out to be a beautiful story. It's the story of we follow Will around for one day of his life. He looks like an all-American boy next door. He's an actor in LA. And we follow him throughout his day, and he's kind of giving us an anecdotal story about something that happened to him when he was a kid. And we can tell that there's something going on with him. We're not really sure what it is. And then there's a turning point in the story where he asks, you know, do you see other people's struggles? How are we supposed to tell you when we're struggling? How do you find the right words to say that? And then we find out that he's dealing with depression, and it's like this weight that he is carrying with him every day. So once that turning point happens, I actually made a physical representation for depression. So you played by Cheska. Yep. I had quite the crew helping me on that project. Yeah. So she's an actual physical representation of what depression feels like for some people. And so it's this weight that he carries with him all throughout his day.
This voice too, kind of.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
telling him crazy
she,
shit.
Yeah. It's like so many people with depression have that voice in their head, but you can't explain it. And it was the best way that I could put it out there to people who might not understand what it's like to deal with depression. Like Cheska, she's never dealt with it. She's had friends who have, but she doesn't know what that feels like. So when I gave her the script and talked to her about it, she was like, you know, this is the first time that I've actually come close to understanding what people go through. This is a really interesting perspective.
It was like super poetic. Like,
thank you.
Like the intro of it, I was just like, well, damn, like, is he going to go down this slide? Like, it was very well done. Like, it was emotional. It was
thank
deeply
you.
Emotional. And I really thought it was just really poetic and beautiful, and just kudos for making it, like, your writing.
Thank you.
It was really good.
Was it, like, always the intention to have Cheska be that weight? I'm
yeah.
just curious. That's so awesome. Mm.
It was, and a couple of people asked me, you know, why are you using a guy? Why are you using a girl in these roles? Is it strategic? And it was more about being able to have the main actor carry that weight and still be able to get through the day. It was just a visual thing, but I always knew she would be the one that I would cast in that role, because there's something interesting about Cheska. She's a very funny person. When you meet her, you instantly know this woman is hilarious. I wanted to see her in that role because it's something so different from what she normally does, because she does act as well. Mm-hmm. But she always does comedic roles, and so I wanted her to just test it out and
came across
try something
though
traumatic.
Like there are certain parts where you see her being the weight literally on him, and like you almost kind of want to laugh at it. You're like, oh my god, like
it is a little bit comical. Yeah. But I think that's like, I like that though, because it makes you think like, I'm laughing and I shouldn't be, but why shouldn't I be? Like, what mm-hmm. about this is making me feel that way? It makes you a little bit uncomfortable because you feel like you shouldn't be laughing, but
right.
that's where you start asking yourself questions and you start wondering, okay, what's the motive behind this?
Mm-hmm. So that was a really big project. Like you said, it was like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Other than that, I know that you have an upcoming feature that's mm-hmm. gonna be even longer.
Yeah.
That I want to talk about last.
Okay.
So first I want to talk about how you got into functional,
mm-hmm.
and how that kind of grew, and how you guys grew into the team that we talked about a little bit earlier and all that stuff.
Well, back on season 2 of The Leslie, when I was working with Daniel, we were at the wrap party for that, and he and I were sitting aside by ourselves, as we do. And he was talking to me about a project that he had in mind. It was a story based on something that happened to him. and he wanted to follow through on it and see it come to fruition. And I just encouraged him, like, yes, if you need help, I want to help you, whatever role you need, if you just need extra hands. I didn't know I'd end up being a director of photography for him, but but at that point it was just like, yes, we need more stories. I think you would do great. I think you're very funny. I think you would tell a great story. So then cut to maybe a year later, I just finished Invisible Struggle, and he said, okay, I have the script, I don't have a DP anymore. would you want to shoot this for me? So I was like, you know what? Sure. I think it'd be something to be, it'd be great to be a part of it. And so when we had the read through, I knew this was something special. The cast really just clicked. I knew it was going to be a lot to undertake. It looks like we had a crew of 50. We had a crew of
five,
maybe on a good day. We had a crew of five. But it made it that much more special, because you knew that we were all invested in every moment of it. We were literally putting blood, sweat, and tears into it. So I loved it because I think it's a great story that's representing a group of people that aren't being represented.
Yeah.
And
I am curious about that, because like the queer community is underrepresented, mm-hmm. but then you kind of fell into like a world where it was like queer and POC.
Yeah.
Like, you can do that.
You can do both. Mm-hmm. you should do both. Because I'm the white person, so it's like, why do you want to be a part of a POC queer project? I want to be a part of all the POC projects. Yeah. I really do. It's just, if you let me in, I'll be there. Growing up, I was the minority in Kansas City. Like, all of my friends were POC, and that just was the norm for me. So when I read Daniel's story, to me, that was completely normal.
It was familiar.
It was so familiar. It felt like home. And so I thought, this is what we've needed to see on television, on the internet, anywhere. We're not seeing it. So it's so special to be able to put something like that out into the world.
I think it's like important to know like how you went about these things, because like, yes, you grew up around like people who weren't white, mm-hmm. and stuff, but you never try to make that your story. You never try to take that over. You just support somebody else who's creating their story from their perspective, who does identify that way.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
That's something that like a lot of people don't like to stay in their lane.
And I said this at KlexiCon. There was a POC panel, and there was a POC meetup, and I was like, I'm not going to go to that because I am going to stay in my lane. Like, I know my place, and that's not the place for me. But if you want to go create some POC content, like, I can help you with that. Like, mm-hmm. I would love to. It's just like, it's hard because whether I want it or not, I have a privilege. I have the white privilege. Doesn't mean I like it, but I need to use it for something good. So it's like, I'm working on all of these things that are opening new doors to new projects. So then it's my place to say, okay, is this an all-white project? Why is it that way? Does it have to be that way? That's where I have to start asking the questions. This is what we should all be doing. Yeah. All of us white folks. Like,
nobody questions it.
Okay, white ally. We need to be asking the questions.
Yeah.
Why aren't there this kind of character? Why isn't there a Latinx? Like, why is it all white? It does not have to be. That's not what I saw growing up. So I need to ask questions, and it has to start with me. I mean, everyone needs to say it has to start with me, because you can't expect someone else to do it. Oh, who's going to start the revolution? Like, you just have to do it yourself.
So. Yeah. That's dope. Go ahead.
Well, no, yeah, I was just trying to see, like, who are your influences? Who have you studied and seen and go, you know what? I fuck with this. This is what I want to do. Like, directors, writers, anyone?
A lot of white guys.
That's fine. That's fine. I mean, that's all there kind of is.
Historically, that's what we have.
In the Latino community, look, I mean, we have Guillermo del Toro, we have Alfonso Cuarón, and we have the third white Latino. Like,
yeah.
Same. So I completely feel
like get it.
It's a bunch
we
of white dudes.
It's like I hang my head that I have to answer that way.
That's
but
fine.
It's what it is, and I'm fortunate that they did something right that made me want to go create so that I can try and make a difference and try and open doors for more POC projects that people can have a platform for. My favorite director is Cameron Crowe. Almost Famous is probably my top favorite movie, but he also did Jerry Maguire. There's a list of others, but I love his directing style. I think a lot of his movies they're about white people, but it's not about the white people. It's just about a love story, or it's always a story about heart. That's something that I put into my own stories. I don't want to tell a story with a lot of. I want it to be about heart. It has to be. Like, what are we doing if we're not
making human connections?
Exactly. We're all humans. We're all looking for some kind of connection.
And no one actually cares about the spaceship. We care about the people in the space.
Exactly.
What kind of like drew you? I know you said you've been doing this since childhood, but what is keeping that in you to keep doing? You said you have this inner voice. You have something that's
like, what's her motivation?
Yeah, what's your motivation? Like, what is it? What have you been doing?
I think the motivation for me is that I didn't have representation growing up. I think that's what keeps the train chugging along, is that I'm like, why weren't there any women directors that I could look up to then?
God, women are making such fucking good movies, dude. Well, I'm sorry, but
I know.
They're making such fucking good movies this year and last
year.
So
true. And it's like, I wish I had that when I was a kid. I think maybe I would have gone faster on this road. Why weren't there any queer directors that I was watching and looking after? Why wasn't that happening for me? And I don't want the future kids that were like me to feel lost like that, to feel like I have these ideas, I just don't know how to use them, and I don't think I have a voice. And I think it was really about finding my voice. Like, what do I have to say? I wrote a lot of scripts that never panned out because I wasn't sure of my voice. I was like, I want to tell a queer story, but I don't feel comfortable telling a queer story. And then I got to a point where I was like, I don't care. We need those stories. Like, I have to tell them. So it was, once I found that, I was like, there's no stopping me now. It's just about how much time do I have to make these things. It's just not seeing myself.
Yeah,
that's real as fuck
for sure. All right, finally, let's talk about this upcoming feature.
Ooh. Yeah,
because we talked about it a little bit when we were in Vegas, and I was really excited about how you went about the script and the acting and why you made it, specifically with the actors that you made it with. So tell us everything.
Yes. We want to know everything.
I asked Allie for an official quote about how she feels about the movie. Ooh. This is what she said.
Alexander Sorens, the star, one of the stars of the films.
And the creator. And the director.
Oh, wow. Yes. Yeah. Yes, those things are important.
I did not know that.
Wow,
that's cool.
She did those. She said, it's like below her mouth, but more sexual.
Fuck.
Wait, what?
Then I sent her laughing emojis, and she said, you know what I mean, because it's not like below her mouth, it's just very intimate, but there's some sex. It's
it happens. Yeah,
we know what the lesbians want.
You know
you want views, right? Like,
but I will tell you, there are sex scenes, but we made every ounce of the movie with love, and the title is With Love, but we wanted to make sure that we're not doing what people do. Oh, let's just have the girls kissing, let's just make it as sexual as possible. It was all about intimacy. It was all about where these characters are at that point in their relationship. And it was all done with care and love, and we're not exploiting anyone. we're not, it's no blue is the warmest color. None of that garbage fire
fiasco, disrespectful piece of trash. Yeah.
It was everything was consent. There was consent for everything. And we all talked through that stuff. And it was the three of us. This is why this movie is different than a lot of what you're seeing. Is it was a very intimate crew of me and the two actors.
Yeah. Plus the script was not your traditional script. It wasn't just like, here's the action, here's the dialogue. It was like, these are the things that need to happen. Like, and the actors really had to step it up and really be on their game to come up with their own shit.
Yeah.
And like really be those characters.
Ali and I had seen two films that were improv'd. One is called Like Crazy and the other is Newness, and they're by the same crew. And they're both improv films. There was an outline for the script, but the product is so genuine and intimate and real, and it's, you see a relationship in a way that you've never seen it. We wanted to do something like that, but we wanted it to be queer. Why aren't we seeing good stories like that in the queer community?
Queer love stories.
Yeah, exactly.
We need them.
The beauty about this one is you could easily interchange this and make it a Hollywood story, a guy and a girl, but it's so beautiful that it's two women, but we don't even think about it being two women. We're just engulfed in the story of what's happening. It's very much a fly on the wall story. You're in a lot of positions that throughout the film that make you feel like you shouldn't be there, but you can't stop watching. the way that I shot it was, I was the director of photography. I didn't want to make it in a typical, okay, so here's your wide shot, okay, now let's move in for a medium, okay, now let's do close-ups, all right, let's flip it around. It was like, I wanted to be in places you shouldn't be. So I did the opposite of, like, there's a scene in a car that takes place for a long time. And instead of shooting from the front where you're seeing them and getting the back and forth, I'm in the car with them in the back seat, and it's just me following the moment and seeing how the conversation flows. And I take the place of the viewer. I'm showing you what you'd want to see. So I'm following all the moments of, okay, what's she saying? Okay, how is she responding to that? Okay, I want to know what her thoughts are during this. So, you know, I might focus on Allie more for that. It was a thrilling way to shoot because it's improv and you don't know what's going to happen. Allie wrote out an outline. I think it was maybe 25 pages. And she gave a lot of character background to Liz. And she said, I want you to make some of it your own. So take your influences from your childhood and the way you grew up and put them into your character. Like, make it, damn, make her.
That's personal.
Yeah, it's very personal. So when I say it's intimate, it's not even just the camera work that's intimate. It's what they had to do to make this story happen. And then it was like a dance between the three of us. It was just the most intimate thing ever. Because I know what's in the outline. I know what Ali wants from the scene as the director. I know her background for her character. Liz doesn't know all of her background for her character. And then Ali doesn't know what Liz is bringing to the table for her character. So it's like, we're all coming to the table. We have cards, but we can't see all of them. We don't exactly know what's going to happen.
So it's like a natural reaction.
Yeah. Okay. And it's just hitting all those moments and seeing what happens. And they were incredible. That was the best improv-ing that I've ever seen. It was everything and more that we expected something. Mm-hmm. And that they just blew it out of the water.
So this was always you and Allie's baby.
Yeah.
But yeah. I feel like, it seems, and from what you've told me, it seems like Liz, which is Liz Perez, who's also on Functional, who's also on a bunch of other stuff.
She's me.
She also kind of was always in mind for this.
She was. So that was me putting a little bug in both of their ears. Because the day that I was at the read-through for Functional and I met Liz, I knew I wanted to work with her on something else. And I knew I wanted to work with Allie more, something outside of LA Web Series. We'd done a short film together called Timeless, which is available now.
Ooh. All right. Yeah.
All right.
We will put that link on Cabrón de Chingonas.
Okay. And then she and I had talked about doing this. Allie and I talked about doing this, this kind of improv film, but we hadn't really fleshed it out. We didn't have a story yet. And then we kind of tested the waters on creating together. So we did two short films, which are also available now.
In the Clouds is one of them. I saw In the Clouds. That was an interesting one. That was on YouTube. Check it out.
Thank you. Yeah, and we also had another one called Strangers to Lovers. So we did those two together, and we knew that we were great working together. We had the same vision. 99% of the time, we're on the same page. The other 1%, we're making the other person work harder to, like, make it better. So that's why we work so well together. So we knew we wanted to make that kind of film. When I met Liz, I knew I want them to work together. I think they would play an interesting couple. I think they would work well together. So how do I make that happen? So
you did.
I just kind of, you know, formed the bond with Liz. She's incredible. And I think we were finishing up the last day of functional, and I kind of took her aside and I was like, so do you want to work together again? And she said yeah, and I was like, so, you know, Allie, would you want to make something with me and with her? And she said, yeah, sure, I'm down, just let me know. And so then we approached her, we met with her, told her what the storyline was, where we saw it going. She was totally down. And I said, you know, it's a lot to take on. This is, you're not getting a full script, you know. I knew she could do improv because I'd seen how well she was doing on functional. There's a lot of moments where we shot what was scripted, but then we're like, hey, let's run with it.
Yeah.
Do a little improv.
It's like the equivalent of like, okay, a serious one. Okay, now a silly one.
Yeah, now do this one. Now do this one. So she did great with that. And I was like, she's going to do something magical. So she agreed to it. And I told her, you know, you're taking on a lot. She said, yeah, I'm down. So that was the best part. And I was comfortable with both of them. And doing what we did, you really have to be, because you have to trust that the person is going to flow with you, and that I might be moving the camera, but just go with it. Don't look at the camera. And they forgot that the camera was there most of the time. And I forgot that I was filming. I just felt like I was like, get the popcorn. Like, this is good shit. Like, what's next? And even I'm editing it also. And even during editing sessions, I'll get a scene finished. And then I'm watching. I'm like, what happens next? And I'm like, where's the audio? Oh, my gosh, I have to put that in. This is a great story. This is incredible.
I love it when you get fascinated with your own projects, with your own stuff. Like, I had this moment earlier when I did this Instagram story that I love so much. But yes,
it's totally the same.
I keep watching it. I'm like, wow, it's a masterpiece. I can't believe I did this.
Her only. Yeah.
You get me.
While I filmed. Right?
But yeah. But anyways, yeah, I'm super excited. So what's the ETA? Like, when do you think we're going to be seeing this? Okay. Or what's the plan for it?
So we are taking a lot of care with this project because it is so special, and we want to put it on the best platform that we can that gets it to the most people and allows the most people that need to be represented, that it enables them to see it. So we're trying to figure out where we want to find a home for it. But
you're planning on doing like film festivals first or anything like that?
Yeah, we are. And then some kind of platform. We will have a trailer by the end of this month.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Finally.
Allie actually just went to Europe and she wanted me to have a trailer. She wanted to do a trailer before she left, but it was... I want to make sure you're getting the best possible experience that you can before you see the movie. And so I said, I need a little more time. I don't want us to have any regrets about this, because I think their work is so incredible. And I think what we did together is so incredible that I don't want to find 5 mistakes in the trailer and and then be like, oh my gosh, we should have waited, you know. So, and I really want you guys to see the wow factor of, wow, I can't believe three people made this.
Right, it's the equivalent of, like, freaking Tangerine. Like, oh, we shot this on three iPhones. Oh, yeah, we shot this with three people.
Right?
Done. That's right? It.
I shot Invisible Struggle on an iPhone, so I know how that goes. And oh, I shout was out. Like, yeah. If I can do that, I can do
anything. Yeah.
So, we'll have a trailer by the end of this month. And then we're hoping to have a premiere for friends and family. You guys would obviously be invited in September.
Sweet. I'm looking forward to it.
Then we will figure out where we're
going. I'll
host
that shit. I'll be like, will you? Los cabronas y
chingonas. Just her.
I'll have Prepapita on FaceTime. Like, cabrona, delay. Chingona from the face.
Delay.
Oh my gosh.
That's so dope. Excited. That's like, you have no idea. Like, since I've met you, I've known you to be this incredibly inspired, incredibly driven person. So it's just,
oh my
like
gosh.
Anything you do, I'm like, yo, I'm down. Like, just send it my way.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
Ready for consumption?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always ready. Like,
yes, here you go. First looks.
Well, I'm excited. I'm super stoked. Ever thank since you. You guys told me about this project, I've been like,
it's my favorite thing that I've.
That was my question.
It's a close.
My question
it's
was going
to
be like,
functional, but it's honestly it's something it's so rare and so beautiful and something that we just really need. And I think the way that we filmed it, we created such a bond. Like, I had a bond with both of those too, but. We call ourselves Team Tripod. And I mean, we went on trips to do this thing. We went to Big Bear. We went to Joshua Tree.
Damn.
We filmed on some locations. We did some places you shouldn't film. I'm going to say we went to the Getty. We had to make up some stories about losing some jewelry. We went to the observatory. We shot a lot of places that are very beautiful and probably very expensive. But I don't know. It's just, it's
that's none of y'all business, all right? Stay out of it.
Don't worry about that.
Get your shots where you can. I don't know. It was, it's just so special. So I hope that everyone loves it as much as we do. And if you don't, it's okay because we really love it anyway. And we always have that.
That's amazing. Well, before we end off, I want to talk about this. What are you watching right now? Because I know you're as much of a consumer as me and Fried Papita.
Yeah.
Like, you could do some of these, a podcast similar to this. Like, what are you watching? And what are you passionate about?
Us.
I've actually been editing a lot. Ooh. So I've made time for, I binged it though, Big Little Lies, the last season.
Fair enough.
I just really love the storytelling and I love that director, Jean-Marc Vallée. Like, I see a lot of what I do in what he does, and so it draws me in.
Did you ever watch Sharp Objects?
Yeah.
Y'all can't see this, but we just gave each other a look. Like,
they had a moment.
That was twisted.
It was hard. It was real rough,
but so well made.
The way that he did it was
genius,
brilliant. Yeah. So strategic. That's what I'm talking about. Is like. Storylines can be difficult to watch, but sometimes it's so beautiful.
It's necessary to the story. It's
exactly.
Not an exploitation of anything or a cop-out. It's not fantastical in any kind of way. It's like, you need this content. You need to see this story.
Exactly. So Are You the One? That's my thing that I will stop editing so that I can watch it live.
Your Wednesday night football, that's not going to be Monday night.
It's Monday football. Night football.
It's probably completely over like by the time this episode airs, but yeah, are you the
that's
one?
That's what I've been, because I feel minds. Like this season is just like so, it's so necessary.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, tell everybody where we can find and support you so that we can keep on waiting for your features and your other awesome projects.
I'm on Twitter the most, at CoreyX182. I'm on Instagram at CX182. I like Blink 182. Mm-hmm. But not tell. If you can. Yeah, that's never gonna change. That hasn't changed since 1998. So there Liddy. You go. Also, I have a YouTube channel where you can find Invisible Struggle, and you'll need to put it in the link because
kabunazichungans.com.
Yes, because all it her is
work will be there.
E-Rock Sonex Productions.
Or if you like look up Invisible Struggle,
you will find it. You'll find it's the first work. Thing that comes up.
Yeah, and on there you'll be able to watch In the Clouds as well.
That's actually on Allie's channel. Okay, there are two versions.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen the real version or the one that we submitted to a 3-minute film festival?
Fuck me, I don't know.
That screwed us over anymore. Because we are queer creators. But anyway, I'm not going to mention that festival.
Okay.
So there is another version along with Strangers to Lovers, and that's on Violet Wave Productions.
Gonna have to look it up. It's the
same channel as LA Web Series. Okay. So if you click that channel for that show, you will find them.
Okay, sweet. I don't know which one I watched. I'm kind of scared now.
I like there's the a, one there's I a much longer version that shows more kissing.
Oh, okay, fun.
Interested. Suddenly very interested.
I'll find it.
A lot of kissing.
So, yeah, about that. Let's go watch that version now.
So everybody go follow Corey. What is all the social media that you wanted to share?
Twitter and Instagram.
Okay, cool.
That's where I live.
Send Corey your love, your time, your energy, your views. We got a bad bitch right in front of us making her own queer content. Oh, like, we need to fucking support. So shout out to Corey. Thank
and of you. Course you we'll queen. Tag her and post about her on CYC Podcast on Instagram and Twitter as well. So follow and rate and review us.
Yes, 5 stars.
Cinco estrellas.
Of course.
All right. Thank you so much for being on
Thank
the show.
You, Corey. Thank you guys.
This was fun. It took us a long time to get started because we were having too much fun.
Yes.
But I don't
back,
know what
we're
going
to go back to doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, let's do more of that.
No. No. No.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, guys.